Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're continuing in the third parak of Maseches Megillah, and we are holding a parak Gimel Mishnah Beis. So it says, Mishnah, Ein Mochin Beis HaKnesset Elal Tanai Shem Yirtzu Yachziruhu. You're not allowed to sell a shul unless it's on the condition that if the seller wants, they could buy it back. I mean, you can't sell a shul without such a Tanai, because then you're giving the impression that the shul doesn't mean anything to you, and you're not interested in it. But by putting a Tanai in, you're showing that you just need the money and you're desperate, but you always want to be able to get the shul back. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that is Rabbi Meir Shita. V'chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, mochrim also mimkar olam. You're allowed to permanently sell a shul, even when you're selling it to a yachid, you're allowed to sell a shul permanently without any tanai attached. Chutz me'arba devarim. And not only that, you're allowed to sell it for anything except for the four following uses that you're not allowed to sell a shul for. Lemerchatz, lebursiki, letvila, lebeis hamayim. That these are four things that are degrading to use what used to be a shul for: a bathhouse, a tannery, a mikveh, or a bathroom. So that's not proper. So we have to make a tanai when you sell it that the buyer is not going to use it for these purposes. So the chum hold that you're allowed to sell a shul for any other purpose, even something that doesn't have kedusha at all, because they hold that whenever a shul is sold, it loses its kedusha. So that's why the chum hold that you're allowed to sell a public shul to a private individual. But even when it's no longer has kedusha, the chum don't allow you to be mevase it in such an extreme way, and that's why they don't allow you to do these four things. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says they could sell the shul just as a chatzer, you know, for the piece of property, and the buyer can then do what he wants with it. As long as the seller says that it will be used as a chatzer, the buyer could use it for whatever he wants, even one of these four degrading uses that the chacham said you're not allowed to do. Meaning this is both a chumra and a kula, meaning he requires you to say that you're selling it to be used for something that does not have kedusha. If you don't say that, then the shul actually retains its kedusha, so it's a chumra on that level. But on the other hand, as long as you do say that you're selling for something that does not have kedusha, then it could be used for anything. The buyer is allowed to use it for whatever he pleases. Now we move on to Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Yehuda tells us the halachas of a shul that were not sold, but just were destroyed. Va'olam Rabbi Yehuda, Beis HaKnesset Shacharav, if you have a Beis HaKnesset that was destroyed, Ein Maspidin B'tocha, you're not allowed to give Hespedim for regular people in such a shul. You're allowed to give a Hesped for a Talmud Chacham in a shul, but not for regular Hamon Am in the shul. Ve'ein Mafshilin B'tocha Chavalim, Ve'ein Parsin L'tocha Matsudos, you're not allowed to twist ropes or spread nets in the shul. You're not allowed to do any type of Malacha in the shul. We're just giving these examples of twisting ropes and spreading nets, because typically the shul is the place with the biggest wide open space. People lived in small homes, and even nowadays that people live in large homes, normally they're large because there are many rooms, not because there are such large rooms. So these are activities that require a large open area, and that's what a shul typically has. Ve'ein shotchin al gago peros, you're not allowed to spread out fruit on its roof to dry. Ve'ein osin also kapandaria, you're not allowed to make a shortcut out of the shul, because it has kedusha even b'chorbano. So you're not allowed to do these things to a shul because that's considered to be degrading. Shenemar, the Torah tells us about a shul that's in ruins, Vashimosi es mikdashechem, that I should make your mikdash desolate, kedushasan afkshen shomemin. So shomemin, that we see that even when it's desolate, even when it's in ruins, it still apparently has kedusha. Oluvo asavim lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh. And if there's overgrown grass in the ruins of a shul, you shouldn't get a gardener to come cut it, because that will cause people to have agmas nefesh, and that is entirely appropriate. When people see that the former shul is overrun with grass, it will cause them a great sense of tzar and agmas nefesh, and hopefully that will encourage them to want to rebuild the shul. So to review what we learned today, Mishnah Beis, we said that according to Rabbi Meir, you're only allowed to sell a shul if you build into a tanai into the mechira that you'll be able to buy it back. The chachamim say, nah, you could sell it without any such tanai, but you do have to make a tanai that it's not going to be used for something totally degrading, like a merchat, a borsiki, a tevila, and a bathroom. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you can sell it, you have to stipulate that you're selling it for a mundane purpose, otherwise you can't use it for anything mundane. But once you sell it, you make that stipulation, the buyer could do whatever he wants with it. And then in Mishnah Gimel, we said that Rabbi Yehuda also told us about a shul that is in ruins, that you're not allowed to be maspid in it, you're not allowed to do malachos, that may require a larger space in it, you're not allowed to use the roof roof to dry fruits. You're not allowed to make it into a shortcut, because we see from the pasuk of Hashimosias Mikdashechem that the kedusha of a shul exists even when it's shamim. And we said as well that if it becomes overgrown with grass, you shouldn't uproot that grass, because let people have a sense of agmas nefesh as a result of the destruction of that shul. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Paragimel, Mishnah Dalet.